If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 11. I do, again, appreciate Brother Gresham being here this morning. Man, that was a good message. We could have just left after that message this morning. And we usually have Sunday school Sunday mornings, but made an exception this morning. He came into town this weekend and preached, and man, that was a good message. It challenged my heart and stirred my heart, and I thank him for doing that. While you're finding your place, Luke chapter number 11, I'm going to read something for you. The title of this is called Looking for Work. An Israeli doctor says medicine in my country is so advanced that we can take a kidney out of one man and put it in another and have him looking for work in 6 weeks. A German doctor says that is nothing. We can take a lung out of one person, put it in another, and have him looking for work in 4 weeks. A Russian doctor says in my country, medicine is so advanced that we can take a half a heart out of one person, put it in another, and have them both looking for work in 2 weeks. An Illinois doctor, not to be outdone, says you guys are way behind. We recently took a man with no brains out of Illinois and put him in the White House for 3 months, and now half the world is looking for work.
Amen.
Get out and vote when it comes time, amen. I can't tell you who to vote for, lose our tax exemption, but get out and vote, amen. Amen. Vote with whoever comes the closest to this book right here.
Amen.
And they're hard to find, but get as close as you can, amen. We've got to do something different. We need God back in this country. I'll tell you what, we need God back in the country. We need God back in the church.
Amen.
But you know where it's going to start? It's going to start in the home.
Amen.
If we can get God back in the home, God will be back in church again. I'm tired of these churches, and all they're doing is bickering and fighting over things. And I talked to Brother Terry here this morning, and man, just I'm tired of seeing these churches bickering back and forth. And this thing's not about us this morning. It's about Jesus Christ and Him magnified and Him lifted up and Him being exalted, and we'll do something for God. We'll see God manifested if we get back to this thing being about Him. Amen. It's not about us. It's not about the kids. It's not about any of those things. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. Who cares what color the carpet is if people are getting saved? Amen. This church is splitting over carpet color. Man, God forbid. We're going to do some things around here and change it up. And amen. If you like it, that's great. If you don't, you know, that's fine too. Who cares? It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about Him lifted up and Him magnified. The last several weeks, started last week, but the next 4 weeks, I'm preaching a series of messages on what makes a great church. And we're just getting started here at White Oak Independent Baptist Church. And we want a church that God blesses. And we want something that's going to be a great church. We don't want to be a mediocre church. I'm not saying that we're anything tonight. But we want to magnify Christ. And there's some things in His Word that I know that will make us a great church. And last week we preached on that makes a great church is a church that praises the Lord. I am not going to be a part of a dead church. I'm not going to do it. If y'all ever decide to dry up and die, amen, we'll get new people or I'll leave and go somewhere else.
Amen.
Not going to be a part of a dead church. We serve a risen Savior this morning, amen. And He's worthy to be praised and exalted. So a great church is one that praises God. A great church we're going to preach this morning is one that prays. Amen. I'm going to preach on prayer this morning. And then next week, Lord willing, a great church is one that preaches. I'm not talking about just out of the pulpit. To preach means to proclaim.
Amen.
And this world needs to hear about a Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? They need to hear about our God. You know what the problem with a lot of churches today? The churches are fat on God. You say, what do you mean? They sit in the service. They've got a good Bible. They've got good singing. They've got good preaching. They've got the Word of God. They've got the answer right in their lap. But it stays in the pew when they leave on Sunday morning. Amen. We want to take this thing outside the walls of this church.
Amen.
You know where our church is going to reach God? It's not going to be in here. This is where we get encouraged and strengthened to go outside of the walls.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to preach on that next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to preach the last one on what makes a great church. A church that participates.
Amen.
Church that gets involved. Amen. In several areas. We'll look at those. But Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
11:1, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, is talking about Christ, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for loving us. God, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You, as the songs were sung just a moment ago, that we can take every care and burden that we have to You. We thank You for that, Lord. And He didn't know what I was going to preach this morning on prayer. But God, we thank You for the privilege it is to come before the throne of grace whenever we need to. And Lord, I thank You so much for the visitors that are here today. Thank You for our church folks. God, I pray You bless it. God, You'd move me out of the way. You'd speak through me, God, and may something be done today. God, it'll only be done if You do it. In Your name we pray. Amen. I'm here in this passage. We're not going to go over the whole chapter. Amen. Can you believe a preacher can preach through an entire chapter in under 40 minutes?
Amen.
It happened this morning. Amen. Brother Matt, Brother Gresham, he preached through an entire chapter in under 40 minutes. Amen. You're not going to find that everywhere. He said he could preach 2 hours. I believe him. Amen. But we appreciate him not doing that this morning. With those sausage balls were good. Amen. But he said, teach us to pray. And so we're not going to go over the whole chapter, but he goes into the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, he said unto them, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, and those things. And that's a good message in itself, but that's not what I'm going to preach this morning. But Jesus Christ, he got alone with God, his Father, and he started praying. And his disciples heard him praying, and when he got done, they asked him one thing. They said, Lord, will You teach us how to pray?
Amen.
You say, you have to be taught how to pray? Yeah, we need to be taught how to pray to God. And how to? Can I tell you this morning that prayer is one of the most untapped resources that Christians have today?
Amen.
Do you realize that we can go to God anytime that we need to? That's a resource. That's a blessing of God that we can pray. Man, it's a blessing that we can go before God and pray. You might not always be able to get a hold of the preacher. You might not always be able to get a hold of Brother Johnny or Brother McDaniel. You might not always be able to get a hold of these men or some of these ladies. But at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you need an answer and you need some peace and you need some help, you can get a hold of God.
Amen.
But you know what we do in this in America when we get in trouble? Whenever we get discouraged, we get down in the dumps, we go to the doctor and ask for a pill. We go get on Xanax. Amen. If you're on it this morning, you have to have it. Amen. I'm not preaching to you. Amen. I might be. I don't know. But I'm telling you this morning, that's what Americans do. They go to the doctor when they get in trouble. They got a bad heart, and I'm talking about spiritually speaking. They're miserable. They're discouraged. They're living in sin. They're disappointed all the time, and everything goes wrong, and they go to the doctor and say, Doc, something's wrong with me. When all they need to do is go to the great physician.
Amen.
It's an untapped resource that we have today. And a church that God blesses, a church that God's going to move in, is one that talks to God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about just on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about as a church family, we go home and we write these prayer requests down and we get before the throne room of grace and we pray one for another.
Amen.
Amen. I pray for y'all this week. I pray for y'all every day. The ones that have been coming to church, Brother Eric, I pray for you every day. I get up and I pray, and I, as a church, we need to do that one for another. We need the hand of God. We need the touch of God. Hey, we live in a wicked, wicked world out there.
Amen.
There's sin on every hand. There's disappointment on every hand. There's heartbreak, and we need God.
Amen.
And a great church, one that God blesses, man, great church is one that prays. That's it. So he said, Lord, teach us to pray. The outlines this morning is very simple. I'm a simple preacher. Amen. You know, y'all wouldn't know, but I was born up in Minnesota. And 3 months after I was born, I moved to Florida. And I was there for about a year. And I moved to Ohio and spent 12 years in Ohio.
Amen.
Amen. I got redneckified when I moved down here. Brother Matt talked to me on the phone. He said, you sound weird. I said, I've lived down here too long, amen, from Florida and moving up here. But I'm telling you this morning, so the message is simple, but we need to get back to praying to God. We need to get back on our face. We need to get back in our prayer closet and get back seeking the face of God when we go through trials and tribulations. Y'all know it's true. Whenever someone goes through something, they start feeling a little funny. They just run to the doctor. That's what we've been trained to do. We've been trained to run to the psychologist and trained to run to the doctor and trained to run to this or the lost coworker and talk to them and say, man, I'm going through some things. We need to get back to going back to Him, amen?
Amen?
Getting back to the Father and back to God and taking all of our cares and all of our burdens like He sang this morning and taking them back to God. We'll stand up and we'll sing in church. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. In the whole week combined, we hadn't prayed a half an hour.
Amen.
Amen. Trying to help you this morning. We stand up and we'll sing that in church. Have y'all ever sang that song before? That's a beautiful song. I love it. But man, sweet hour of prayer. And the whole month combined, we haven't prayed an hour to God. We go through trials and situations. We get in a spot with our wife and we're cussing each other out. We'll go in the other room and slam the door and those things, and we'll sit there and muster over it instead of getting together saying, listen, oh, we've gotten crossways here. We're arguing, we're fussing, because that's what men and women do sometimes, amen. Instead of getting with them and say, let's pray.
Amen.
It's hard to argue when you're praying to God. It's hard to argue with your family and your children, and you get down around family devotion and say, you know what? Things are going haywire. We're getting crossways here. We're frustrated with each other. Let's pray.
Amen.
Instead of calling mommy and saying, you wouldn't believe what my husband's doing. Amen.
Amen.
Your mom's not married to him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Your mom doesn't love him as much as you do.
Amen.
But we go running to them and running there instead of running to God. Amen. I'm going to get into the message here in just a second and get down through here, and the Lord teach us to pray and go through some of these things. But I'm trying to tell you this morning, we need prayer.
Yes.
I need God.
Yes.
I've got three little children. Ella's 5 years old. She asked God to save her this past December.
Amen.
She asked God to save her. He said, does she understand? She came up and she told me she understands. She's a sinner. She knows what she does wrong, and asked God to save her. And if that's true, she's saved. Now, later on, she might get some more, you know, God might deal with her heart some more, I don't know. But she knows that she's sinned. She knows what she does wrong. She asked God to save her. I praise God for it.
Amen.
Ever since she was born, I'm not bragging on me this morning, I'm telling you that I need God. Ever since she was born, me and my wife have done devotions every single night since the day that she was born. And we've prayed over her and said, God, when she comes to the age, would you save her?
Amen.
God saved her at 4 years old. Just about, it was 2 weeks before she turned five. Now my little boy, he just turned three. My little baby Emma, she's about 3 months old. And you know what I'm praying? God, save them at a young age. God, save them when they're young, before the world gets a hold of them.
Yeah.
And I mean it. I'm praying. I'm praying for these kids. I pray for your kids. And I pray for her. And I pray for her. And I pray for Alicia. And I pray for the kids of this church. I want God to get a hold of them before the devil does. And I want them to fall in love with Jesus. But it's going to take prayer. It's going to take prayer. We'll take our kids, we'll bend over backwards to get our kids to the ball field. Nothing wrong with that this morning. They play ball. I mean, I hope that my kids can play ball. They'll bend over backwards to make sure that they're at the ball field. They'll bend over backwards to make sure they get to do some of them secular things. But we won't spend 5 minutes praying for them.
Amen.
Me and my wife, we pray with the kids, and then we pray before we go to bed. And the prayer's the same. You say the same prayer every night. God, I pray you'd save these kids. God, I pray you'd save these girls. I pray you'd save these kids. And I pray they fall in love with you.
Amen.
That's my prayer for them. We got to get back to praying one for another. We got to get back to praying for our wife and our family and our church folks. We need God. I need God more than I've ever needed God. I don't want to get up and my kids be grown and then not know who God is, and not know the God of their daddy and the God of their mommy, and not fall in love with Jesus. Amen. We need God to get in this thing. And the only way He's going to get in is if we ask Him.
Amen.
If we get on our face before God and we ask Him. On Wednesday nights, we have prayer meeting.
Amen.
We have a Bible study, but we pray. People say, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and I go to the church, and there's not a lot, there's no praying. They'll take up prayer requests for an hour, and then they'll say something. We get down around the altar, and we all pray out loud, and we spend time talking to God. We need God in this church.
Amen.
We need God for the children of this church. Amen. We need God for some of these older folks. We need them to have wisdom and spiritual wisdom for our kids to look up to. Hey, we need God in this church because there's a lost and dying world that needs a Savior this morning.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with the prayer requests we have for health. We need to do that and pray for one another. But I believe we all need to have somebody on our heart we're praying for salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Praying for them for salvation. We need God back in this thing. I'm going to give you this morning, and I'll be as brief as I can. But He said there, teach us to pray. And I want to look at just a few aspects of prayer this morning. And the very first one is the place of prayer. The place of prayer. Over in Matthew 6:6, don't turn there for the sake of time. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. You know the place of prayer is this morning? The place of prayer is, there's a private place of prayer.
Amen.
A private place of prayer. We come on Sunday mornings and we all pray, and all the men, they pray out loud. Amen. I like that. They're all praying to God. But every single one of us need to have a private place of prayer.
Amen.
We need to have a place that we get a hold with God, that we get along with God the Father.
Amen.
You know what mine is? Mine's going down the road.
Amen.
You don't have to have your eyes closed to pray. Amen. I have a 45-minute drive from my house to work. Before my feet hit the ground, I wake up, I say, Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for my wife laying next to me. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my church. Thank you for another day.
Amen.
And I get out of bed and I do my things and I get in the car. And when I get in the car, that's when I go through and I pray for everyone in this church. I pray for the prayer requests. And I got that long drive to work, and that's my prayer time. That's my prayer closet, amen? And that's the time I can get along with God and pray. Every person in here needs somewhere.
Amen.
Jesus told them that's where prayer closet comes from. That passage I just read. Amen? But everybody needs somewhere. Hey, it might be out in the woods somewhere. It might be catfishing. I got an amen over here. There needs to be somewhere that you've got a special place where you can get a hold of God, and where you can cry out to God, and you can talk to God, and you can commune with the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
There'll be mornings I'm going to work, man, and I'm praying, and sometimes I'm wanting to shout and rejoice and thank God that some of the families were in the house of God and thank God for what He's done.
Amen.
Then there's times I pray and I'm brokenhearted, I'm crying.
Amen.
God, would you please get a hold of their heart? Man, the communion with God, you need to have a relationship with God that is just talking like me and Brother Johnny are talking.
Amen.
I call up Brother Johnny throughout the week and I talk to him about things about the church and things. And, you know, God needs to be the same way. Anytime we just start talking to him.
Amen.
But every one of us need to have a private place of prayer.
Yes.
A private place. I can always tell, amen, most of the time I can always tell when someone doesn't have a private prayer. And I know sometimes, don't get me wrong, if I ever ask calling you to pray, don't be scared of it, but I'm telling you that I've been around some people that when you hear them pray, it's awkward. Not just that they're shy. I understand there's some shy people, don't get me wrong, but it's awkward. And I can tell they don't spend time talking to God. It's weird. Amen? It's like your son this morning, whenever he's introduced to everybody, he's shy and kind of, you know, he hasn't been around us. It's awkward. He doesn't understand. And that's how it is sometimes when I hear people talk to God. Why? Because they haven't talked to God in 6 months.
Amen.
Yeah, they've sat in church. They've heard us pray. They might have mumbled a few words, but they haven't spent any time with God. Brother Matt said this morning about his wife. He said it'd be awkward if his wife, if he spent time with her Sunday, and all day long he spent time with her, and he told her to stay there, and then he left with another woman. That would be weird, amen? That wouldn't be right. That'd be sinful and wrong. We do that with God. We come into church and we do prayer requests and we take them up and ask who all has a prayer request, and we'll get those prayer information and we'll take all those requests in, and we leave all that right here and walk out that door and never think about it again until the next week. We need a private place of prayer. We need a place that we can get a hold of God. I'm talking about a great church that God blesses this morning. That's the series that we're going on here. And we need God. We need Him. We need a private place. Not only that, but in public. The Bible says that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of truth.
Amen.
Hey, we ought not to be ashamed to bow our head and thank God for a meal.
Amen.
Amen. While you all are in school, you shouldn't be ashamed. Girls, you should not be ashamed to bow down and thank God for your food. You said, they'll make fun of me. Hey, we serve a greater God than what they have. Amen. He's on our side. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
Bible says we shouldn't be ashamed. I see people, hey, this afternoon, you leave out of here, if you're going to a restaurant, you'll watch people leave some of these big churches by the droves, and they'll sit down and eat a meal, and they never one time bow their head to pray.
Yeah.
Trust me. There's some that do, and thank God for it. You be one of the ones that do. Don't be ashamed to bow your head and give God thanks for what He's done for you, and ask God to thank you for the food, amen? And thank God that He gave you the money to be able to buy the food. There's a private place of prayer, but there's also a public place of prayer.
Amen.
There's also a time where you just need to thank God and praise Him. Man, I was with an old preacher one time. I don't remember his name. I remember growing up, he was back at Charity. And he was an old preacher. And man, we were in a grocery store. And we were walking down the aisle, and something hit him. God just hit him upside the head or something. He stopped in the hardware aisle. He stopped right what he was doing, and he bowed his head and said, "Lord, I just want to tell you thank you for so much for how good you've been to me." And he thanked God for whatever it was that hit him. I'm in Walmart, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" Amen. Right there in the aisle. But hey, he wasn't ashamed to thank God and praise Him. Amen. And give God the glory. And he stopped and prayed and thanked God.
Amen.
There's a private place of prayer, but there's also a public place. This world, hey, let me tell you something. These kids need to see y'all praying.
Amen.
They do. These kids need to hear y'all praying for them. Say, I'm not doing it for them. No, you're not. Yeah, you are. You're doing it so God will get a hold of them.
Amen.
But they need to hear you praying for them. Whenever we have Wednesday night Bible study and prayer, whenever we have men's prayer in the back, these kids, I know they're still little. They don't get it all yet. They need to hear us praying for them.
Amen.
Parents, they don't need to hear you fighting all the time. They need to hear you praying sometimes. I remember growing up, I would hear my mom on the side of her bed praying for us kids. I didn't like what she was praying because I was saved at the time, but I'd hear her praying, "God, if they get away from you, God, if they're in sin, I pray you please reveal it. Lord, if they're in sin, I pray you'd make them miserable."
Amen.
We want our kids to be happy and comfortable, but if they're in sin, we don't want that. Amen. We don't want them to be comfortable with sin. We don't want them to deal with some of the same hell that we went through. We want God in their life. They need to hear us praying. There needs to be a private place of prayer. There needs to be a public place of prayer. They need to hear us praying for them. They need to hear us praising God. They need to hear us magnifying Christ.
Yes.
Amen. When we leave out of here Sunday morning, if there's something to preach, if there's something I said that you don't like, if there's something I said that you didn't care for, and eventually I'm going to make you mad. I'm just telling you. I preach against everything. You say, "Is it all sin?" No, it's not all sin. But I preach against everything.
Amen.
Why? Because somebody has got that thing ahead of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so one day I'm going to make you mad. And you might get in that car going down the road and you say, "I can't believe Brother Andrew did this." And what? And you know what you're going to have for lunch? You're going to have roast preacher for lunch.
Amen.
There's a lot of churches, that's what they have. We're having dinner on the grounds today. What are we having? Roast preacher. We're going to talk about the preacher the whole way out. And then we wonder why in the world is when our kids get old enough to make a decision on whether or not they're going to serve God, they leave out the door because they don't want nothing to do with it because they heard their parents belly aching about the whole time.
Amen.
Then we wonder, we don't know why our kids won't come to church. Well, there was never any prayer at the house. There was never even nothing bragging on God. There was no excitement built up. In our house, man, I'm telling you, Sunday mornings, my kids are excited about going to church.
Amen.
There's a song that we used to listen to every day on the way to church. And now they got a new CD in there, Patch the Pirate. But they listened to it, and the title of it was "Let's Go to Church." Let's go to church where we'll worship and pray. And Elijah, my two-year-old man, he'd get excited. He'd say, "Daddy, put on Let's Go to Church. We're going to church." Hey, build an excitement about the things of God.
Yeah.
Then when they get a little older, maybe God will get a hold of their heart and they'll get excited about it. They say, "Mom and Dad's excited about it. Hey, I heard Daddy praying. I want to pray like Daddy prays. I want to pray like Mommy prays."
Amen.
Whenever our kids want anything, kids want stuff. Amen, they do. We don't let them go through Walmart grabbing stuff out of the buggies, but if you ever want something to preach about, every time I go to Walmart, I got a message to preach about. Amen. I don't know, but they go in there grabbing stuff off the shelf, and kids want things. You know what? Our daughter comes up and says, "Daddy, I want one of these." You know what I'll tell her? "Well, pray about it. Maybe God will provide for us." I don't just give her the money. You know, sometimes we don't have the money for it. She wanted a swing set. I didn't have the money for a swing set with a big slide and all that stuff on it. We didn't have the money for it. And so she came along and said, "Daddy, I want a swing set." I said, "Baby, pray about it." Amen. Y'all pray about those kind of things?
Yeah.
Amen. So I said, pray about it. You know, I'm not saying that. I just said, pray about it. And so she prayed about it for 2 or 3 months, and out of the blue, my granny from Tallahassee, Florida, said, "You know what? I want to buy them kids a swing set."
Amen.
And she sent us the money. She paid for it. Said, just go down there and pick it up.
Amen.
And we went out and picked it up. And you know what? That night in prayer, I didn't say anything. But Ella got down and she prayed. And she said, Lord, I want to thank you for giving me that swing set. You know what I want to teach my children? That it's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about anything else. It's about God.
Amen.
I want them to know that. We're teaching our kids to be thankful. Not to me, but to God. Amen?
Amen.
And they pray. They'll pray. My wife does a great job with them. They'll be at home and they'll pray. They'll say, Lord, Lord, thank you for giving Daddy a good job so that we can have the toys we have. Lord, thank you. Thank you. We're giving Him the praise, not me. Hey, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have what you have this morning.
Amen.
If it wasn't for God Almighty, you wouldn't be sitting here today.
Amen.
If it wasn't for God Almighty, your marriage wouldn't be what it is today. You said it's not perfect. Well, it wouldn't be where it's at if it wasn't for God. And it's not going to be but for God for it to get better.
Amen.
And I want to teach my kids to pray and thank God. Amen. There's a private place of prayer. There's a public place of prayer. Our kids need to hear us praying. We need to get before God. Amen. We need to get off of Facebook and get our face back in the book and get praying again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say, I have faith. Well, it's a tool. It's a good tool. But there's some people that can't. They're on it every day, all day long. I work with a girl. Amen. She might hear this and she needs to hear it. I tell her all day long. Even at work. We're getting paid for a job, and she's on Facebook all day long. Amen. There's no need in that. But most Christians, they're on Facebook and all those social media things all day long, and just all day they're on that thing, and never one time do they take time to pray to God. Amen. If you have one, that's fine. But I'm talking about putting stuff ahead of God. I'm talking about all day long doing that, and we'll make sure we check our status, and we'll make sure we'll check these things. And if we hear about somebody, man, Christians are getting bad at this. They'll hear about so-and-so. They'll hear about something Miss Asha did. And instead of praying for her and praying that God will help her with it, we'll go tell somebody else about it.
Amen.
We'll spread it on Facebook and spread it all over the place. There's churches tonight or this morning, ask Brother Matt, that are busted to pieces because of some of that social media stuff. And instead of going to God in prayer, they're gossiping about it and they're busting church all to pieces.
Amen.
Some of y'all might know about some churches like that. Just busted to pieces.
Amen.
If you find out something that Miss Mary's involved in is sinful, amen, pray to God that God will help her. I'm not saying she's in any sin, amen. But I'm saying tonight, or this morning, if you hear about something, don't go tell somebody else about it. Get a hold of God and pray.
Amen.
We need God in this thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to benefit Brother Johnny one bit to hear about something she's doing. Not one bit. But you know, this is what Christians do. They'll say, I need to tell you something that you need to pray about. When they're talking about somebody else. They say, I got something I need you to pray about. But that's their avenue of gossip. We need to get back to praying to God, amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about a great church, one that God blesses, one that God will move and get a part of. And we've got to talk to Him. This thing's all about Him.
Amen.
It's not about you this morning, it's about Him. There's the place of prayer. In private, in public, everywhere we go. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Everywhere we go, praying to God. You say, I look crazy. You don't have to pray out loud. I do sometimes. Sometimes I'll pray out, like I'll open my mouth. I do that anyway. Sometimes I'll be thinking something and my mouth's moving. My wife said, you look like you're crazy when you're doing that. But sometimes I'll be at work praying, and I'm thinking something, and I'm talking to God, and nothing verbal is coming out, but my mouth is moving. And the guy that sits across from me, he'll be staring at me. He'll say, what are you doing? And I say, I'm praying. And he'll say, okay, well, say a word for me. Praying all the time, talking to God all day long. We'll text message our wife and our buddies all day long. Why don't we text God, amen?
Amen.
Send Him something. Tell Him that we love Him. Something comes across my mind, and God will do this to me. God will put somebody on my heart. Out of the blue, I'm working, I'm at home cutting grass, and all of a sudden, somebody will pop up in my mind. Brother Johnny will pop up in my mind. And I'll stop whatever I'm thinking or listening to, and I'll say, Lord, I don't know why you just put him on my mind, but God, I pray you be with him.
Amen.
Brother Bill Ed, there's a man in Cordova, that a dear friend of mine up there. God did that to me the other day, put him on my heart. And man, I prayed for him. I sent him a text and said, "Brother, I just want to let you know I love you and I'm praying for you." I don't know why, but God put it on me heavy.
Amen.
And I stopped and prayed for him. He didn't respond to my text. I saw him a week later, tears in his eyes. He came up and hugged me. He said, "I needed God right at that time."
Amen.
He said, "You didn't know it." He said, "You didn't know it, preacher, but I needed God." God will do that. God put somebody in your heart. But man, why am I thinking about them right now? Well, duh. Amen. God.
Amen.
God might have placed them on your heart to pray for them.
Yep.
Does that ever happen to you? God just put somebody out of the blue. Just put somebody on your heart. And you'll say, "Man, why am I thinking about them today?" Amen. Well, God wants you to pray for them. We need to intercede. Amen.
Yes.
On the behalf of these folks and pray for them, man. You say, "I don't have anything to pray for." Pray for me and my family. Pray for this church. Start there. Amen. There's the place of prayer. There's the period of prayer. The Bible says, turn over to Luke 18. Luke 18. You're right there. I'm going to try to keep you in the same book so you don't have to get out of it. Luke chapter number 18, the place of prayer, that's everywhere, public, private, everywhere we go, we ought to pray to God. There's also the period of prayer. The period of prayer. Amen. I know it's 12 o'clock. We don't stop right at 12, amen? We don't have no church tonight. We'll try to hurry up. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." Y'all there, Luke 18, 1, say amen. Luke 18, 1. "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought," what?
Always
"to pray and not to faint." So 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." You say, "How do I do that?" Again, you don't have to have your eyes closed to pray. We need to be in a spirit of prayer all day, every day.
Amen.
I've been saved here in a couple weeks. Me and Brother Gresham got saved the same year. Amen. We got saved in 1995. And so we've been saved almost 20 years. Amen. You say, "I got saved at 10 years old." I've been saved almost 20 years. And I've just recently, the last couple years, got a hold of this thing of praying without ceasing.
Amen.
I've been in church my whole life, but I'm talking about getting such a relationship with God that you're in a spirit of prayer all day, every day. When I go to bed, that's all I can think about is Him. I'm serious. You say, "Was it always like that?" No, it needs to be. But I'm telling you right now, man, just getting down and praying and thanking God for how good He's been. God has been good to me. And I've been telling him, and the more I tell him, man, the more sweeter it gets.
Amen.
The more the fellowship just, man. You say, "Oh, there's trouble." There's trouble everywhere.
Yep.
There's trouble. I mean, you come in this morning, and you're going to leave out of here, and that washing machine that you're thinking about this morning that's broke down, amen, that car that's got a flat tire that you're thinking about this morning, when you leave, it'll still be flat, and the washing machine will still be broke.
Amen.
Amen. But God's been good. Amen. God has been so very good to us. And man, just being in a spirit of prayer. All day long, just talking to God. "Lord," you know, you don't have to say it out loud, but in your heart, "Lord, what do you think about this? God, what do you think about this?" My pastor used to say it all the time, that he believes that you ought to pray for 3 days before you make any major decision. At least 3 days. Praying to God. But man, we'll call our mom, we'll call our dad, we'll call grandpa. And there's nothing wrong with spiritual advice, nothing wrong at all. But we don't even ask God one time, "Lord, what do you think about this?" About going to church somewhere. "Well, we like the preacher and we like this and that's fine." But what about praying to God? Say, "God, is that where you want me to be?
Amen.
God, is this the place where it's going to get help for my kids? God, is this the place that you're going to bless my family?" Brother Matt's praying about the will of God for his life, and selfishly I would love him to be down here, but more than anything, he's praying that, "God, where are you going to bless my family? God, where do you want me to be?" People will get up and take a job in another state and get up and pack their family up and everything and leave and go there without praying to God one time. And then years down the road, their family's busted up and gone to hell. The kids are in jail, in prison, on drugs, dope, and all those other kind of things. And they say, "Where did we go wrong?" We didn't ask God. Money is not everything. You say, "Well, I made $10 more an hour." Yeah, but your family's busted up. And you never asked God one time. God's will was for you to do something else. God's good to us. God will take care of you wherever you're at.
Amen.
Wherever you're at, amen? God said, "I'll get you a better job, but I got to work every Sunday." Amen? I know people have to work on Sunday sometimes. I understand that. But I'm telling you that sometimes we'll leave something that God's given us for a couple more dollars that'll take us out of church in a heartbeat. When it would have saved us a lot of headache if we just prayed. Said, God, is this what you want? And God will tell you. He'll give you the answer. You pray to Him and you ask Him, He'll give you the answer. Man, you seek Him. The period of prayers all the time. I'm going to try. I got to finish this up. I got a lot I got to cut out of here. You got the place of prayer, the period of prayer, the person of prayer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all about Him. We're not praying to nobody. We're not praying to Muhammad. We're not praying to any man. We're praying to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not praying to me. You're not praying to this church. You're praying to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the person of prayer. And the purpose of prayer is to communicate with God. It's to confess our sins. It's to help keep us from sinning. You know, it is real. I said it a minute ago. It is really hard to have a fight with your wife and continue when you're praying together. It's hard. It's hard to have a spat with a brother. Hey, man, me and Brother Johnny ever get crossways, and it might happen one day, I don't know. But if we got together and said, listen, we got crossways, let's pray.
Amen.
Brother Matt, you've seen it. Brother Gresham, you've seen it. We get down and you pray with somebody, man, God just works that thing out. And it all starts with prayer. Amen. We need to get back to praying. Lastly, let's look at this. Turn to Leviticus 21. We're going to finish up here. Leviticus chapter 21. We got the place of prayer, the period of prayer, the person of prayer, the purpose of prayer. And lastly, let's look at the privilege of prayer. Leviticus chapter 21. Back there in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21 and verse number 21 through 23. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Leviticus 21, verse 21 through 23. In the Old Testament, we're about to get a picture here, what they had to do in the Old Testament. Leviticus 21, 21 through 23. The people back in the Old Testament, they had to go through the priest, they had to go through the Levitical tribe, and they had to go through the high priest. And that high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies to get a hold of God. Leviticus 21, verse 21 says, no man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of not the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. Back in the Old Testament, it was only the high priest that could go in to the Holy of Holies and talk to God. All these people would come and they would bring their sacrifices and they would talk to the priest and tell him what they needed prayer for, and they would talk to him, and he was the only one that was allowed to go in there, and everything had to be perfect. No blemishes, no wrong. And he would go in there. They would tie a rope around his ankle, and if he messed up, he'd drop over dead. And they would pull him out with that rope. Back there in the Old Testament. But don't turn there, but can I read a verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 18 through 22. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you know what I just read? Yeah, that's saying there that we can all have boldness to go between the throne of grace. Amen. You don't have to come this morning. You don't have to go to a priest to make your confessions so that he can go to God for you. You can go to God whenever you need to and get on your hands and knees.
Amen.
That Old Testament priest, everything had to be perfect. Can I tell you, I'm not perfect. Amen. I'm not perfect at all. You're not perfect. I see a couple halos in here this morning. Amen. But I'm not perfect. And in the Old Testament, because of that, I could not go into the Holy of Holies. And if I wasn't of the right family, if I wasn't of the right tribe, I could never go into the Holy of Holies and talk to God myself. But because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ became the high priest.
Amen.
He became the high priest. And he shed his blood on Calvary. And he took that precious blood. And he went to hell for us. And he came back out. And he went up into heaven. And he placed that blood on the mercy seat of God.
Amen.
And he said, I'll be their high priest. In the Old Testament, in order to get a hold of God, they had to go through there and go to the Holy of Holies. Now we get down and pray. God gives us the Holy Spirit, and we can pray to God. And Jesus Christ, He intercedes between us and God. He's the high priest. In the Old Testament, you had to go to the high priest. I'm telling you this morning that if you came in here and told me your sin, I couldn't handle it. I can't handle my own sin.
Amen.
You come in and tell me your sin, I couldn't handle that. But now, brother, you could get down any time and you could pray to God. Say, Lord, I messed up again. God, I've gotten crossways with you again. Lord, the fellowship is not like it used to be. God, I got involved in this sin and I want to get my heart back right with you again. And Jesus Christ says, Father, I paid for that sin. God, I paid for that with my blood on the cross of Calvary. Please, let me take His place. And every time we pray to God, Jesus Christ intercedes for us.
Yes.
It's a privilege this morning that we can get down and pray.
Amen.
And we take it for granted.
Yes.
Christianity as a whole, most churches, they take it for granted that we can get before God and pray. Some, we can get in a car. We live in a free country. We take a lot of things for granted. As a Christian, we take it for granted that we can get down and we can pray to an almighty God any time that we want to. It's a privilege that we can pray this morning. I'm telling you, a great church. I don't know about y'all, but I want a great church.
Amen.
Not for us. I want a great church for Him.
Yes.
And if we're going to be a great church, we're going to have to pray.
Yes.
And we're going to have to pray and pray and pray and pray until God comes back. And we can stand right there in His presence. We got to have it. We got to have prayer for our kids. We got to have prayer for our families. We need God. Brother Carey, you go to the piano and sing that song again. Hey, if God spoke to your heart this morning, why don't you come down here and get around this altar? You come. Hey, a lot of churches, man, they've lost the altar. These big mega churches, they don't have an altar anymore.
Amen.
Hey, man, they just come down and stand there and do whatever they do. Hey, when's the last time you came down the altar and talked to God?
Amen.
You just come this morning, amen. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed right now. If God spoke to your heart, you come. Don't sit there and let God pass you by.